Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 25, ending in verse 29, where we see that you may feel shaken due to life or circumstances today, but there is something for all believers that cannot be shaken, our Savior, who is not only holy, but He's also just in a consuming fire. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 12, verse 25.
You can open your Bible to Hebrews 12. We're going to finish the chapter, God willing, this morning, which is wild. We'll be in chapter 13 if the Lord tarries next week. Last night, I'm sitting with my youngest, Harper, and I'm sitting on my chair, where I study. And I'm just losing my mind at this point, just anguishing over the scriptures. So I say, the Lord, He speaks through babes, speaks through the mouth of babes. So I say to my youngest Harper, she's laying on the ground next to me, I say, hey, can I read to you the verses that I'm reading to the church? It's only four verses. Can I read them to you and you tell me what you think? So y'all are going to get what a six-year-old interprets the word for this morning. So I read through the scriptures, and at the end, I got my laptop on my lap, but she can't see my Bible. I'm reading from my Bible. She thought I was reading from my notes. So at the end of that, she looks at me, and she says, Daddy, you need to delete that. She thought, like I wrote, and I think some of you are going to feel that way too as we read through these challenging scriptures. For her, it was that they were lengthy. For you, I think it's going to be, if your heart isn't ready or prepared, it might be that they're challenging. And we want to ask the Lord just to break through in our hearts and bring personal revival, that we don't want to delete these things, but that rather they would rise from the pages and penetrate the depths of our hearts and transform us. Y'all didn't come to church for information, amen? You came for transformation. If you wanted information, you can go read a commentary or listen to a teacher way greater than I, but rather this is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be prophetic in our lives, not necessarily foretelling, but forthtelling for what we need as the local body of Christ to receive from Him this Sunday morning. The first Sunday of August, 2020. We're in the eighth month of the year already. Where did it go? Wild, isn't it? What did we even stay up late for on New Year's Eve, on 2019? See that you refuse not. Let's read the text in totality, and then we'll go right through it again. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now as he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, verse 27, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things which are made, and those things which cannot be shaken. Those things which cannot be shaken. Doesn't it feel good? There's something that can't be shaken. I don't do this a lot, but I think I'm going to do it right now. Can you say it with me? There are those things which cannot be shaken. Let's say it again. There are those things which cannot be shaken. That's good news. Everything around us is being rattled right now. There's something the holy word of God says for you and I that are in Christ to look forward to that cannot be shaken. Glory, hallelujah, amen. He goes like this, there are those things which cannot be shaken which remain. Wherefore, verse 28, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That feels good too. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. It's what he is. He is right now in the present. He is a consuming fire. I love what Spurgeon says of that verse. I have it written right in my Bible below verse 29. He says this, and I quote, "In love, he is severely holy and sternly just," close quote. Isn't that good? I like what Spurgeon, the prince of preaching, says of this verse. I'm going to say it again in case you want to write it down in your Bible. In love, he is, that is God, he is severely holy and sternly just. God, please teach us again through your word now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The writer is encouraging us to press onward, to press inward, to continue to follow after Jesus despite everything else. And he closes this section before he turns to the horizontal relationships that we enjoy on earth in chapter 13 with just this shot in the arm. Hey, remember that our God, even though he speaks to us from a bloody mountain, our God, even though he is full of grace and mercy, our God, even though he is love personified, our God is a consuming fire. And you can let the Holy Spirit minister that to you throughout this message as you would. For me, the theme of his ministering to me from that very verse, as I've studied the rest of these verses we'll look at this morning, is just personal revival. I want the Lord to do a revival in the United States of America. I want the Lord to do a revival in our world. I hope this global pandemic won't go wasted. And the only way that I'll deem it as not being wasted in my own limited knowledge and understanding of things is if there is a breaking forth of the Spirit of God and just this radical turning to Christ globally, right? Like that, because the whole world's been touched by this snow day. Right? We've been on a global snow day, haven't we? It's been a really bizarre year. And I want to see God do something unbelievable here for his kingdom before he calls the church home. Amen? But I can't control that. I can't even control the local body that I pastor. I can't even figure out if it's gonna rain or not. What control do I have? I mean, both times I went for it in faith, Wednesday and Sunday, it rains. I don't think I got the gift of faith. You know, I don't know. But here's what I can control. Just a little bit. How much of my own life I'm surrendering to him. How much of my own life I'm putting into his arms and his care and letting his holy fire just consume and burn away what shouldn't be. To continue to allow him to free me of weights and hindrances and sins that so easily beset me. There are sins in my life I can't even believe they're there still sometimes. And they rear their ugly head daily. And I'm just looking for the Lord to continually just free me from those things as the chapter started so I can run the race to win. Amen? And so the writer here is closing this chapter dynamically saying, our God, he is a consuming fire. And he can bring forth revival in your own life, even if your neighbor's not interested. Even if this whole message, they keep looking at their watch, keep checking their phone, playing a video game, scrolling on Instagram, because everybody can do whatever they want to do, even if they're in church. Those of you on the lawn. Even if the person next to you is just chomping away, what do we got out there today, waffles? Eating their waffles and drinking their coffee, and that's what they came to church for. God doesn't need that person to be all in order for you to be all in. There could be a personal revival that's had in your life. If it hasn't already begun, it can start today. Should you just get consumed by the all-consuming fire of God and his glory and his majesty. That's what I believe. And if you understand the majesty and the glory and the beauty and the splendor of the Lord, well, then you'll lend your ear to him, as the writer says here, going backwards now in verse 25. He says this, see, and that is a present imperative. I know I give you guys language a lot, but it helps you understand the oomph here behind what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. It's a present imperative, so it's literally supposed to be read in this way. You must continually see. There's a lot of things that are vying for your eye gate attention, aren't there? There's a lot of things that want you to see it, see them, see whatever out there. But the Holy Spirit saying to the bride of Christ at first service this morning at Calvary Chapel, even if it's remotely, even if it's in your living room or wherever you are streaming this service, out on the lawn or in the sanctuary, he's saying to you, I'm asking you to turn your head and set your eyes on my word. I'm asking you to see and to continually see that you refuse not him that speaketh. God, who at sundry times and in various places spoke to us through the prophets, spoke to us through the law, spoke to us through other means. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. That's the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That is God's final voice, if you would. His final voice of pleading with humanity. Listen, never to be improved upon. The plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. He speaks to us in Son. Jesus is the prophet, if you would, the voice box of God to this age. He's speaking to us right now. And the writer is saying this, you must continually lend your ear to his voice. Don't refuse his voice. Isn't that, when you listen to what I'm saying to you right now, isn't that remarkable that us little specks on this earth even have the opportunity and option to refuse his voice? This is the one who speaks things into motion. This is the one who says, let there be light, and there's no light bearer, and there's light. This is the one who is the very word of God. The control of just the voice of God, the voice box of Jesus is magnificent. We can't even wrap our minds a little bit around it. And yet, us little specks on this planet that he's created and consists in his hands, how's the whole world in motion and being held together? By the hand of Jesus. Not dark matter. The hand of Jesus. He spoke it and he's keeping it in motion. And yet the writer is saying this to us. Make sure that you don't start to refuse his voice that speaks to you specks on planet Earth. See to it. Lot to see, lot to hear. Lot to see, lot to hear. Lot of noise being made out there. Lot of audible noise. Lot of opinions out there. Coming from the culture, coming from the media, coming from journalists, coming from your the employees that you work with, your neighbors. Lot of opinions out there. Everybody's got something to say about what's going on. Everybody does. Everybody is in their own mind sort of an expert about why they wear their mask, why they don't wear their mask, why this is an absolute joke, why this is not an absolute joke. Everybody's got something to say. It's the noisiest season of my lifetime. Those of you who are more seasoned than I am with years, maybe I don't know how you feel about it or what you think, but this is a really rattling, loud portion in human history. Really bizarre. Is it true? Those of you who are wiser and seasoned in years? Come on, it's as nice as I can be. This is first service. I haven't even had a full cup of coffee yet. You should see me at second. I'm like bouncing off the wall like a ping pong ball. Is it true? A lot of noise out there. A lot of opinions. A lot of networks. It's not just a time in human history where, you know, there are things that are vying for our attention with our eyes, but also our ears. Everybody's got something to say in the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. How amazed have you been where God has us in his word in this pandemic? This is crazy. In the middle of all that, God stoops to his children. You ever read like Leviticus, any of you? If you've gone here since I've been pastor, I've taken you through a major chunk of the Old Testament. We already studied that on Wednesday nights. You remember the dietary laws? The king, the creator, stoops into our kitchen and tells us, don't eat this and do eat that, because he's concerned that much with our own physical well-being. He stoops down into our lives and he wants to speak to us. It's a bloody hill that he speaks to us from, Calvary. It's in contradiction to Sinai. And Sinai is a place of fright It's a place that causes trembling, where the people that were there said, please, no more. On the flip side, he doesn't speak to us from Sinai. He speaks to us from Zion. He speaks to us from grace. And we don't abuse it. We don't misunderstand it. He's still a consuming fire. That's the balance of all of this. But isn't it wild to you that this gracious God stoops and wants to speak to you on this Sunday morning? I have to tell you something. For some of you, it's going to be some things. None of you should leave here without anything, though. Everybody should go home with a doggy bag. If your heart is surrendered to Jesus, I don't care how good my preaching is or isn't, the word's going forth. It's being unleashed. There's no way anyone should leave on the grounds out there, their family room at home, or in this sanctuary without something from the Lord. He wants to speak to you. And he says this, please don't refuse me. You want to know what the word refuse means? Dismiss. Let me give it to you like this. The word refuse is when you just get up from the table and excuse yourself. The Lord says to specks on earth, the one who speaks creation into existence, he says, please, on August 2nd, 2020, please make sure that you continually see that you give me your ear gate so that I can speak to you. Please don't beg your pardon from my voice. Please don't think that you know everything and that there's nothing that you can't learn or receive from His Majesty. For if they escape not who refused Him that spoke on earth, you know that that's Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him that speaks from heaven, that's Jesus, whose voice then shook the earth. But now He's promising, yet once more, I shake. Listen, the word shake there in verse 26 is a shaking of to and shaking of fro. A shaking of to and a shaking of fro. Listen, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. The earth, listen, this earth is not the rock beneath our feet that it seems to be, or that it has seemed to be up till recently. It's not a rock beneath our feet that it has seemed to be, at least up to recently. There's a shaking that's coming. There's a shaking that has already happened, and there is a shaking that is coming, he says. And it's not just of earth, but also of heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth that the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There's a shaking that's coming. And I think that in some senses, the shaking has begun. Now I understand the text in its context, and I'll teach it to you in just a moment. And I'll do it briefly. I'll just whet your appetite so that you can go and study it on your own. I'll give you passages in Scripture. The best commentary of the Bible is what, church? The Bible. So I'll give you cross-references that you can go and just run with that on, because you should know what's about to come. But I think that in so many of senses, that the shaking has begun. And only Jesus can do the shaking. I can't shake the church. I mean, the Lord can shake the church through me, but it's only Him that can really shake the church. There's going to be a sifting, you know that, right? Because Jesus said in the last days that there's going to be a sifting between the chaff and the wheat. That there's going to be like a dividing of who's really sheep, of who's really followers of Jesus Christ. He said that the church is like a big tree where the fowls of the air, they come and they settle in, the branches, and people are evil intended, people who are not sincere, make believers, not real believers. They're going to be a part of it. And the Lord's going to cause a shaking. He's going to start shaking to and fro, and there's going to be this sifting. There's going to be this refining. He's a consuming fire. He's gracious, and He stoops, and He begs you to lend you His ear, lend you your ear and your eyes, but also don't get it twisted. This is the Almighty. This is the one who already told you that is His grace. But here is the truth. He's already told you, just like there was a shaking and a fright with Moses on Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given, there's an even greater shaking that's coming. And the shaking has begun. And there's nothing that can't be shaken that's made. Everything on this earth is temporal besides what is of the kingdom, that which is eternal. And before we get to that which is eternal, this is multi-headed. This text is an anthem. Now you see why Harper said, Daddy, delete this. This is intense. But I'm going to break it down for you as best as I can, being tried and true to the text. No agenda, just giving you God's word. Listen, the shaking has begun, but there's a shaking that's going to happen. Let me give you a few passages so that you can just know what they are, and you can go spend some time with them and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I want to begin with giving you a passage of scriptures in Psalm 102. Write it down at the very least, please. You don't just take what I say and say, oh, that's what Psalm 102 says. You go read it on your own. You go study and search the scriptures on your own. You don't just believe what a pastor tells you, especially when it comes to eschatology. Let the Bible speak to you. Listen, there's a shaking that's coming. You're seeing it now. People are falling away. People, and it's easy to be shaken, and it's easy not to be hearing the word of God and seeing the will of God when you stop assembling with the brethren. There's no reason why people can't come back to church. It's dangerous to isolate yourself. God intended people to be in fellowship. It is an interdependent faith that God has called us to. So, Pastor, you say, Pastor, what's the easiest way for me not to hear God and see God? Stop coming to church. It's time to come back to church. It's that we're doing our best we can to fill people in here and have backup plans if it's raining outside, and we're already looking into the fall months, and we're on it. I'm talking to people from California. I talked to Pastor Joe Foge in Philly on Monday. I'm talking to everybody. We got calls into the ACLJ. Like, we're not messing around. We're going for it. Okay, we're going for it. It's time to come back to church. It's time to hear the word of God and to see Jesus. I'm calling people out of their beds, out of their bathrobes. I'm calling you back home to church. It's time to gather with the flock that God has put you in. You won't make it out there. The devil will destroy you. You won't make it out there. You need to come back to church and hear the word of God. Do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. If you don't see the day of the Lord approaching, your eyes are closed. There's a shaking that's coming. You can feel it. You can feel it. Our economy is being shaken. Our political system is being shaken. Our country is divided. It's being shaken. Our world is being shaken. Our currency is being shaken. Okay? Everything is being shaken. You can see it.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.